He's going to third. And Brother Bob is one of our overseers. Now, I could say bishop, but then I would show my Catholic background too much, so I'll just call him an overseer is an overseer. So anyhow, so we're blessed to have overseers over this congregation. And so I just want to welcome Brother Bob and Sister Sandy all the way from up the river near Muncie. And that is what county? That is Lycoming. Okay. All righty. So let's just praise God as Brother Bob comes forward, and let's believe that there's going to be a word from him that's going to touch our hearts this day. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise God.
Hard to work with your coat on. Hallelujah. Good to see you all this morning. Hallelujah. Good to know the Lord. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Let's get this turned around. I am so delighted to be here this morning. Brings back many memories. Oh, man. I was just a little kid when Mom and Dad would go down to some of the Full Gospel business meetings in Derry Street. And Dimas Sakarian and some of the people that would come in there and speak. And I says, whoa, hallelujah. So we go back a long time. This is, listen, you guys are a great church. And you are a great people. You say, well, what makes us so great? What makes you great is that you're connected to a great God. Jesus Christ, to him be all glory and power and might and dominion. He's what gives us the greatness. He's what makes us what we are. And we say, thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And I just appreciate all of you. We've seen you over the years and been here back and forth many times. But I remember back in, I think it was in the 70s. We came, we were in Texas. I had gone to college before, and then we went down, had four more years of college in San Antonio, Texas. And while we were there, we graduated, and then we stayed on and taught for another 4 years. And then we came back to Muncie, and we started, basically our church started as a Bible school, where we had students who we trained for missions work and for work in the house of the Lord. I remember one day that it was probably 72, 73, 74 in there somewhere. Brother Luke came up with a couple van loads of people from Grace Chapel. And they came up to see the Bible school and see how it was going and sit in on the classes. And classes had kind of gotten started. We had started with the worship time and then got into the classes. And Brother Luke came in and with a couple van loads of people. And my wife was in the kitchen cooking. Now, she had made just enough of food for the students. And so she had it all figured out. You know, there's so many pans. That day it was chicken and rice. Chicken and rice kind of casserole. And so she had made it and put it, got it all there, had the rice cooked and the chicken ready to go. And in comes Brother Luke and two van loads of people, and she's freaking out. She said, oh, my lands, how am I going to feed all these people? I made just enough. I made just enough for the kids. I made just the students. Ah, she's, So Brother Luke comes in. He said, how you doing, Sister Sandy? She says, oh, and of course she lied, but she said, I'm doing good. But inside she's freaking out. She said, oh, how am I going to feed everybody? But you know what? Brother Luke came over and he said, let's just have a word of prayer. He grabs her hand. He said, God bless Sister Sandy and just bless these people and bless this school and just multiply the food. He didn't know what he was praying, but he hit it on the head. Hallelujah. So my wife gets out, she puts out all the pans that were for the kids. She looks back in the thing where she had the rice, and it was like there was none taken out. Every bit of it was still full of rice. And then the chicken. So she gets out another pan, she fills that full of rice and chicken. Gets out another pan, she fills that full of rice and chicken. She says, "My land." She looks back in, and there's still rice there. We actually saw the rice and the chicken multiply. And when it was done, at the end of the day, at the end of time we came down, there was enough food for everybody, and there were leftovers. It reminded me of the 12 baskets that were left over. And I says, "Oh, my land." When I got home, my wife says, "Where did we get that rice?" She says, "It must be a new rice." I said, "No, it's the same rice we always bought. It's just God blessed it. Hallelujah." And so, oh, hallelujah. What a blessing God is. Amen? I want you to look at your neighbor and say, "God is good." Amen. Now, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, "I have learned that God is good." Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You see, it's not how you feel that's important. It's what you know. Because you could be feeling lousy, or you could be feeling good, or you could be feeling kind of mediocre. But it's not what I feel, it's what I know. Because I know the God that I serve is Almighty God. I know that He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I ask or all that I ever think. I know that He's on the throne. I know that He rules. I know that He is my God and my Savior. I know that He is my King. Amen? Hallelujah! Give Him a hand this morning. He is for you, not against you. Amen? He lives in you. He goes before you. His goodness and mercy follow you. He is your Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord your peace. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. He is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord my companion. He is the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of the hosts of heaven. He is the Lord, my salvation. Hallelujah. In Him I have strength. In Him I have stability. In Him I have security. He is the God above all gods. He's alive. He's living. Hallelujah. He's our provider. He's our hope. He's our holiness. He's our healer. He's Almighty God. He's the bread of life. He is the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. Almighty God. He is Emmanuel, God with us, not around us, inside of us. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. Hallelujah! The United Nations is not in control. The God of Heaven is in control. Amen? He's my Redeemer. He's my resurrection. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. There is no life outside of Him. In Him is life. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have my life and that more abundantly." And I say, hallelujah to the God that we serve. Amen. Hallelujah. God is wonderful. He is so wonderful. What a privilege it is to have our sins forgiven, to have our past forgotten, to learn that in Him there is hope and there is help. I thank God that at the age of 5, in a Mennonite revival back in 1948, God moved in my heart at the age of 5. Mom and Dad were sitting there, and I was sitting between them, and I began to cry. Began to weep. I didn't know why. I don't know what was preached. I just know the Holy Spirit came. And I just started weeping. At the end of the service, Mom and Dad took me down to the altar. And it was there that I encountered Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you don't know Him, oh God, you got to get to know Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. There is no other way to the Father. There is no other way to heaven except through faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When we come to Jesus Christ, listen, salvation is two important things. One of them is that we repent. That means we turn from the way we're going and we turn to Jesus Christ. If you have never repented, you've got to repent. Because that's the only way. You repent, you turn to Jesus Christ, and the second is that you receive Him. The Bible says, for as many as receive Him, hallelujah, to them He has given His life. And we are born of the Spirit of God. What a privilege it is not only to know God in my head, but to have Him living in my heart. Hallelujah. And we just say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. What a privilege it is to have been identified with Him and to be filled with His Holy Spirit and to learn to walk on this earth with Him as the one that I am committed to. Because as He's more committed to me than I am to Him. Because there are times that I falter, but I want you to know there's no time that He ever falters. There's no time He ever falls behind. There's no time that He ever runs off and leaves, because Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you. I will be in you. I will be with you even to the ends of the earth. And so I say, thank God for all that God is doing today. Amen? Hallelujah. So, I got down here. God said, someone sitting near you. I've heard God say, do this. So someone sitting near you, I want you to look at them and say, God is for you. He really is. Now, don't stop yet. Don't stop yet. He knows what you're going through. Oh, yes, He does. Oh, yes. God knows where you're at. I don't know where you're at. He does. You say, how does He know? He's God. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He knew all things before the beginning. He knows all things after the end. He knows what you need this morning. Back in 1924, back in 1924, the formation of Dallas Theological Seminary had been in existence for a short time. They hit some rough waters. Looked like the school was going to fold. They had so many debtors against them, overwhelmed, impossibilities. And so, there was that certain day that they were supposed to meet at 12 noon at the bank for the foreclosure of Dallas Theological Seminary. Mr. Schaefer, who was president at that time, called for a prayer meeting. He says, we need to pray, guys, because today, by 12 o'clock noon, if God does not come through, we will have to declare bankruptcy and shut down the seminary. So they got to praying in the president's office and they held hands. One of the people in line was Harry Ironside, old-time theologian, like his writings. And as they were taking turns praying around the circle, it came to Harry Ironside. And he said, oh God, I know You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Lord, we need You to sell some of them and give us the money. It was about that very moment that into the office comes a Texan, cowboy boots, blue jeans, shirt hanging open. And he walks into the secretary and he says, you know what? He said, I just sold 2 carloads of cattle. And he said, I had a business proposition
It was supposed to come through, and it fell through. And I don't know what to do with this money. I think God wants me to give it to the school. Hallelujah. He handed the check to the secretary. The secretary, knowing the closeness of the hour of 12 noon, took the check into where they were praying, knocked on the door. President of the college opens the door. She sticks the check in. He shuts the door. He walks into the circle where they're praying. He opens up the check. It was exactly the figure that they owed and were going to be foreclosed for. Every cent was meant. Every penny of the debt was paid off with one check. The president looked at Harry Ironside and he says, "Sir, God just sold some cattle. Hallelujah." We have a God who is a big God. Nothing impossible with Him. He said, "You don't know my situation. I want to tell you, you don't know my God. I'm going to tell you one that can divide the Red Seas. One that can multiply the fish and the bread. One that can raise the dead. One that can cause the sun to stand still. One that can cleanse a leper and grow fingers and stubs back in to where is a hand. There's nothing impossible with the God that we serve. He is Almighty God. He is your sufficiency. He is your strength. He is here to impart to you what you need in your life. And this church, hallelujah, God says, it's my church, hallelujah. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against it, amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I want us to turn. That was just kind of an introduction. We want to turn to Matthew chapter 16. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse. One more page here. It's stuck. I'm used to having my hands free, but that's all right. Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 13. Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Hallelujah. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, I think it is interesting when Jesus asked, he kind of set them up because he said, first of all, he said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And so they started, you know, "Well, we heard somebody called you maybe John the Baptist come back to life." Others said, "Well, you know, maybe you're Elijah, because the prophet talks about Elijah coming back before the great and awesome day of the Lord. Maybe you're Jeremiah." We're not sure. People are saying different things. But then Jesus looks at them and he says, "But whom do you say that I am?" And that's important. Question. You say, well, why did he ask them that question? I believe he asked them that question because just not many days hence he's going to send them. And in fact, he had already sent them to preach the gospel. But there's coming a day when they are not going to have Jesus, and they're going to need to know who Jesus Christ really is. When it comes to Christianity, there are many things that we can kind of not totally agree on. You may not agree as to how to worship. You may not agree on all the things of baptism. You may not agree as when the Lord is coming. Jesus Christ is coming back in the clouds of glory. He's coming before the tribulation. He's coming in the middle of the tribulation. He's coming after the tribulation. It doesn't affect your salvation, but one thing is important, and that's what you believe about Jesus Christ. He is the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the one spoken of in the prophets. He is Almighty God in human flesh. Total God, total flesh, and all of the fullness of God dwelt in that body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think it was last year. I was getting to go somewhere and I had the SUV sitting in the driveway and I had the back up and I'm putting stuff in. I had to be somewhere. It wasn't immediately that I had to be there, but I was making plans to get away and somewhere going. I can't remember where it was. I'm packing things into the back of the SUV and then saw a van pull up at the end of the lane, the end of the driveway. Out of it comes two ladies and a man. Immediately, God says, you know who they are? I said, yeah, I know who they are. So they come walking up the driveway. I'm working there. And the guy comes up to me and he says, how you doing today, sir? I said, oh, I'm doing fine. I knew who they were. He said, well, we'd like to talk to you a little bit this morning. And I said, you know, I'm kind of busy, but I said, let's cut to the chase. What do you believe about Jesus Christ? Well, I said, is he God? You and I may differ a little about that. I said, listen, if we differ on that, we don't need to talk any longer. God bless you. Go your way. I'm going mine. Hallelujah. I probably shouldn't have said God bless them, but it didn't help. I knew what they believed about Jesus Christ. And I said, the key to Christianity is he's more than a prophet. He's more than a good teacher. He's more than a healer. He's more than one who has power over demons. He's more than just the son of David. He's the son of the living God. He is the Christ, the Messiah, God in human flesh. No longer does he dwell in a temple built by man. Now he dwelt in his son, and he came that we might have life through faith in him to his death, burial, and resurrection. And I say, hallelujah to the King of Kings. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The first word is I. Let's take a look at these words. Listen, this isn't Brother Luke Weaver's church. This church does not belong to a board of elders. Doesn't belong to a board of deacons. Doesn't belong to man. It doesn't belong to a denomination. Doesn't belong to an organization. This church is not a business with a cross stuck on top. This church is the house of the living God, because the church is not the building. The church is not the organization. The church is not the programs. The church is not the personnel. The church is people who have been set apart to follow Jesus Christ with leadership that God has put there. The church is you and I who are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, who are filled with the Spirit of God, who are walking in the Word of God. You are the church of the living God. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're the church. Not you individually, but you corporately. Because the church is not one person. It's not one organization. It's all the people of God that God has brought out of darkness and brought them into the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, I will. Hallelujah. It's his church. Amen. Oh, it doesn't. Listen, he was the architect. He was the originator. It was his idea. He is the head of it. He is the protector of it. He is the power of it, and he is the provider of it. I will build my church. Hallelujah. I cannot depend on the flesh. I cannot turn to Egypt nor can I turn to Assyria or some other man-made power to find the authority and the power to do. Jesus said, I will. Hallelujah. It is His church. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you're part of His church. Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I. Second word is will. Not I'd like to. I intend to. If everything goes well. If the government doesn't forbid it. If there are no problems, I'm going to build. No. Jesus said, I will. Everybody say, I will.
I will.
Hallelujah. I look back at the first church. And all the way through history, and we're going to look at that in a moment. But there was opposition from the very beginning. But Jesus said, I will. Listen, it don't matter if there are problems. It don't matter if there are pressures and persecution. It don't matter what is out there. Jesus said, I am going to build my church. I don't care what. Hallelujah. Don't get me started. I don't care what the progressives say. I don't care what the liberals do. I will. I don't care if they want to kick God out of the school. I will build my church. Because you are the church of the living God. The church of those who have been called out, washed in His blood. You're the church. Amen. I will. Regardless of the hatred in the city of Jerusalem, Jesus built a church. Regardless of the persecution, people losing their job because they came to Jesus. He said, I'm going to build my church anyway. Regardless of the stoning of Stephen. And all of a sudden, the fear that could have gripped them. But Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. Hallelujah. The imprisonment of Peter and execution of James, one of the leaders of the church. And now Peter's in prison. He's coming out the next day. King intends to do to Peter what he did to James. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. It's not Peter's time to go yet. I'm going to get him out of there. Hallelujah. He sends an angel in the middle of the night, comes down and gets Peter out of the jail. Four quadrants of soldiers and four gates that come into the city, and his freedom. And the angel looks at him and taps him. And he says, get up, Peter. Follow me. Hallelujah. Why? Because death could not stop what God wanted to, what God started. Hallelujah. Christians lost their jobs, were disinherited because now they were no longer Jews. They were followers of that hated one called Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said, I will, and the third word, I will build. Hallelujah. The church has a foundation. It's not built on the sifting sands of man's ideas. It's not built on the opinions of the culture. Jesus said, I will build my church upon this rock. Peter was not the rock. The word Petros, his name means he's just a small stone. But Jesus said, I will build my church. Hallelujah. Listen, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said there were two people that built. One of them built on without a foundation, just built on the sand. The other one built on the rock. And I tell you what happens when the storms come. It's the people. It's the organization. It's the church. It's that is built on something other than the rock that will falter and that will fall. But when we build on the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we build on the rock, Christ Jesus, I don't care what the winds do. I don't care what the waters do. I don't care what the waves do. Because they will not knock over Jesus' church. Hallelujah. I will build. Hallelujah. He's in the... Listen, the devil is fighting that God is building. Guess who's going to win? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You look at the end of the book, the devil loses. He's in hell. Jesus Christ has a body of believers that have been set apart that are in heaven with Him. And I said, praise God. Amen. I will build. Now listen. Daniel says in Daniel 2, but as you watched, a rock was cut out of the mountainside by supernatural means. It came hurling towards the statue and it crushed the feet of iron and clay, and it smashed it to bits. Then the whole statue collapsed into a heap of iron and clay and brass and silver and gold. Its pieces were crushed as small as chaff, and the wind blew them away. But the rock, hallelujah, but the rock that knocked the statue down became a great mountain and covered the whole earth. That's Jesus Christ. That's the kingdom of God. That's the believers that are following Jesus Christ. That rock is Jesus Christ. That rock is the kingdom of God. God said, listen, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed it. Daniel interpreted it. And he said, the significance is the rock that hit the feet, ground the kingdom of the Gentiles to pieces. But that rock, then it began to grow. Hallelujah. And it grew. And it grew until it covered the earth. That's Jesus Christ. Listen, we're not on the losing side. We're on the winning side because Jesus said, I will build my church. It will cover the earth. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached into all the world. And it was happening. Amen. Hallelujah. I got to take a drink. I will build my church. Let's look at the word my. Hallelujah. It shows ownership. The word my shows authority. The ownership of the church is not the bank. The authority of the church is not a board. The ownership and the authority of the church is its head. That's Jesus Christ. Amen? I will build my church. Listen to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 18. He, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation, for by Him all things were created, things in heaven, things on the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things, say all things, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body. He is the head of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. Hallelujah. All power and glory and honor and might and dominion belong unto Him, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I will build. Construction. No, I've never been a great person to work on construction. Hallelujah. Restruction, but not construction. But Jesus said, you know what? I'm constructing a church. It's interesting as I've watched construction because sometimes things have to be torn down before they can be built. I will build my church. The devil's not going to stop it. The culture's not going to slow it down. Because I'm the head of all principality and power and authority. Amen? I will build my church. The church is not a building, not an organization. It's not a denomination. The church is people. I want you to say, the church is people. I want you to get that right. The church is people. And when God said, I will build my church, He's talking about you. He said, I'm going to build you. I'm going to build you. Why? Because the church is made up of many parts. Church is not one part. The nose doesn't make a body. The hand doesn't make a body. The foot doesn't make a body. Your stomach doesn't make a body. I see it's getting closer to 12. And your stomach's saying, shut up, I want to go home and eat. But God's saying, hang in there a little bit. I'm not quite done yet. Hallelujah. But you know what? An individual part does not make up the complete. But the body says the body is of Christ is many members. The eye cannot say to the ear, I have no need of you. Nor can the mouth. This is why God gave us two ears and one mouth. It's that we listen twice as much as what we talk. So I know, I heard that. So one of you just said, preacher, eat your own food. Be quiet. No. But you know, the body is perfectly formed together so that when every part works, it is a beautiful, absolutely meticulously wonderful body that accomplishes much on the earth. Same as the church. When every part of the body is working, it comes to wholeness. It comes to unity. It comes to glory. It comes to where it brings the manifest presence of God. Hallelujah. I will build my church. Hallelujah. Now listen, the church is not about me. Unfortunately, we live in a time where the church is about what I want, what I feel, what I like, songs that I want to sing, preaching that I want to hear. Don't make me too committed. Don't make it too hard. Because if you do, I'll go down the road and they'll pat me on the back and says, oh, whatever we mean to you over there, we will take you in. Listen, man, the church is not about what I like and what I want. The church is about what He wants and who He is. Hallelujah. Amen. We have got to get out of the entertainment business and we have got to get in to the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me talk. Oh, man, I am running out of time. No, that's okay. Let me give you three purposes for the church. And there are many things that the church is all about. And we could just spend a whole couple days on the church. But let me narrow it down as I say, God, give me three basic reasons. What is the purpose of the church? Number one. The number one purpose of the church is that it is ceaselessly to labor to rescue the perishing. It is ceaselessly to labor to rescue the perishing. Why did Jesus leave the church on the earth? To do what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? Jesus said, I am not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus said, go out into the highways, into the byways, and compel them to come in. Jesus said to the disciples, go ye into all the world, starting at where you are, and around the corner, and over the hill, and into the next town, and into the next county, and into the next state, and into the next nation, and compel them to come in. This is Mission Sunday, you said. Listen, not only are the missions in Philippine Islands and in China and in India, the mission starts in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It starts in Elizabethtown. There are people outside the four walls that need Jesus Christ. There are people that you know, relatives and friends and neighbors and associates and people that you are at the workout at the gym with that need Jesus Christ. Jesus said, go and preach this gospel into all the world. You are my ambassadors. This power shall come upon you and you shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The purpose of Jesus Christ was to come and seek and save. And you know why he's not back yet? Because he said, I'm delaying for some more to come in to my kingdom. When the gospel is preached into all the world, and the last one that Jesus said will come in, he will come back. But that's the job of you and I. He said, well, I'm not called to be an evangelist. No, but you are called to be a witness, every one of you. You're called to open your mouth and share Jesus Christ. That's hard. You know, one of the easiest ways to share Jesus is to tell people what God done for you. This is where I used to be. This is where I am now. And this is how I got from where I used to be to where I am right now. It was through faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. He changed my life. Hallelujah.
And so one of the jobs of the church is to let the light shine. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You know what will happen? If there is no light, there'll be total darkness. The reason there is not total darkness is yet the light is still shining. You know why the world is not totally collapsed in decay and filth? It's because there's salt still on the earth. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You're what keeps the culture from totally rotting. There is coming a time when that which hinders will be taken, and then total crisis and collapse will come. And I don't want to be in that age. I don't want to be in that time. But Jesus said there's a job for the church to do. One of the jobs of the church is you need to win souls. So how are we going to grow? You got to get outside the four walls. One of the problems of the church is sometimes we become introverted. We turn inward. Our program, our songs, our youth, our church, our building, our program, our this and our that. Listen, it's time to stop the hour and go out there where the saints and the sinners mix together and win them and bring them to Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to tell you, we have, over the last several years, God's kind of really been moving. But it all happened when God sent sent a bunch of Koreans. And we got these Koreans in church. And man, some of these ladies, I've never seen evangelists like them in all my life. I mean, everywhere they go, they're leading people to Jesus Christ. We have another lady, everywhere she goes, she's praying for people. People have been healed of cancer. I don't know how many cancers she has prayed for people, and they've gone. Tom Marino, she's working in the hospital in the laboratory. Tom Marino, who resigned from the cabinet, and Trump came in and he said, why did he resign? Because he had cancer. They said he had cancer, and so he comes in. This one of our ladies, she's such an evangelist. Tom Marino comes in and he checks in and he says, I'm here for my test. And she fills out the paperwork and hands it to him, and he starts walking away. And God says to her, you need to pray for that man. She says, sir, yes, can I pray for you before you go back for your test? Yeah. Now, right there in the open, in the public, people coming and going, she grabs his hand, and she starts praying for him. And she says, God, touch this man. Heal his body. God, let these tests show that the cancer is gone. We believe you're the healer. And she just flat out prayed for the guy. And after she says, amen. She said, I'm going to keep praying for you. I believe God's going to deliver you. So he goes, has his test and walks out. And he waves at her and he says, thanks for praying for me. She says, I'm going to keep praying. About 2 weeks later, he comes back for the test results. He goes on back, gets the test results. He comes back out and he stops at Sister Holly. And he says, sister, I want to thank you for praying for me. I went back and the results are I have no cancer. They said there was cancer, but he says, you know, it's stuff like that outside the walls of the church that turns people on, that brings them to Christ. And then when we bring them to Christ, we bring them in. And this is the second phase of the church. Number one, we get outside the walls and win the lost. Number two, purpose of the church is when we win them, we bring them in and we disciple them. Amen? We begin to teach them and train them and equip them and then eventually activate them to flow in the function of the ministry of Jesus Christ. So the second phase is when we bring them in, we got to train them. We got to teach them. We got to equip them. We got to activate them so that they can go into all the world and do what God's called them to do, help to build the church. Ephesians says in Ephesians chapter 4, concerning the church, he said, each part does its share. And each joint supplies and each part does its share to bring increase in the body of Christ. That each joint is people. That each part doing their share is people. So when people begin to do what God's gifted them and called them to do, and they work as a unit and unity, God begins to bring increase and begins to bless the church. I will build. And so the second job of the church is to help, to teach, to train, to equip, and to activate. And the third job of the church is that it will be
a place where the glory of God is exhibited, where the praises of God, the manifest presence of God is lifted up, and God is high and lifted up. Listen, some people that you rub your shoulders with as the church of the living God, the only God they will know is what they see in you. The only God they'll know is what they see in you. And if you go around grumbling and complaining, that's the kind of God they think that you serve. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know what? They think God is... You go around saying, hallelujah! I don't care if your circumstances are good or praise, let the high praises of God be in their mouth. And the two-edged sword, lift up the voice of Jesus. Lift up the praises of God. Let Him be known that He is glorious. He is powerful. There's none like Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Someone said the church is not a storehouse for converts. It's a distribution center for the seeds. The church is not the final destination of the seed. It may be gathered into the barn or the church, but it's kept for a while. But if it is not distributed, but it is destroyed if it's not returned to the field where it was sown into the soil so that it may multiply by the help of the Lord. Church is not a place where you store the seed. It's where the seed comes. But then the seed's got to be taken back to the field. And it's got to be planted. I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said, but you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a set apart people that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Hallelujah. And the last one. And I got to quit. But it says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. That's the good news. Hallelujah. The gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. Hallelujah. Listen, I want you to learn something. God is building, but the devil is tenaciously fighting everything that God is trying to do. Don't ever forget that. Hallelujah. He's equally committed to tearing down what God is wanting to build up. Don't let Him use you to tear it down. Amen? The devil will stop at nothing to disrupt and destroy God's people and His church. He will use outside attacks and he will use inside attacks to destroy the church. Divisions and gossip and discord and tearing apart of the church and the people of Jesus Christ. He will use sexual scandals, mishandling of funds, caustic criticism, unsigned letters, money problems, decreasing numbers, disagreements among the leaders, suspicions, and everything that he can do to tear apart God's people. Don't let him do it. Jesus said, I will build my church. From the very beginning, God has been building the church, and from the very beginning, the devil has been fighting. And if you look through church history, and I'm running out of time, I don't have time to go through church history. I would love to do that. But starting with the day of Pentecost when the church was initiated, you run through the time when the church came into opposition. Church, read Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, and you'll find some of the things that comes up. And the church beginning to fall from its first love, beginning to become lukewarm. It came into the dark ages. But somewhere, hallelujah, there became a revolution. There became a restoration. God began to use men like Huss and Zwingli and Luther and all of these men. And all of a sudden, light begins to shine again in the darkness. And it was, they found out it's not in the Roman church. It's in the church of Jesus Christ. He is the head of his body. It's not the Pope that's the head. It's not a council or bishops that are at the head. It's Jesus Christ. And they begin to preach the just shall live by faith. They begin to preach in baptism. They begin to preach in healing. They begin to preach in the second work of grace. They begin to move and through the ages. Although there has been opposition and although there has been persecution, God said, I will build my church. Hallelujah. And what you're going through is nothing because God is the head of it. And He will push through and you will see the glory of God in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Well, what can I do to stop these attacks of the devil? You got to love God. You got to stand in unity. You got to get outside the walls. You got to listen to the voice of the head, Jesus Christ. I appreciate what Brother Ben said. Prayer is such an important ingredient. Because prayer is not just telling God what needs to be done. God had to teach me this because although I was born, again, Mennonite, I became one of those Pentecostals. I became filled with the Holy Spirit at the age of 9. Raised up in Pentecost since then. One of the things I found about Pentecost is sometimes we want to blabber, 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 blabber. And God says, shut your mouth, son. I want to talk. Because communion and prayer is a two-way conversation. I've got to talk to God, but then I've got to be quiet and sensitive and let Him talk back to me. Hallelujah. I will build my church. He that endureth. He that endureth to the end. God's going to give you endurance. God said it's not over. Despise not the day of small things. Oh, man, God, give me more time. In the Old Testament, when they were falling into captivity, many of them remembered the glory of Solomon's temple. And so they hung up their harp on the willow tree. And he says, the days of glory are over. We may as well, this is a Lawver translation, eat worms and die. It's over. We may as well give up. But you know, when the time of restoration came 70 years later, and God sent Ezra back, the first thing that happened was they reconstructed the house of the Lord. And then God said, it's time to come back and re-inhabit. Some of them came back and they said, oh my, the temple is not near as glorious as it used to be. God was not interested in the size of the temple. He was interested in the hearts of the people returning back to Him. And I said, you know what? That's what it's all about. Because Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to bless you this morning. And I want to pray that God makes you a blessing. I want to pray that God gets you outside the four walls. And that saints and sinners will come to Jesus Christ. And you'll bring them to this place. And step number two, you'll teach them. You'll train them. You'll equip them and activate them. And step number three, you'll let the glory of God blow the roof off. And the praises of God and the honor and glory and edification of God. Listen, man, get excited because we serve the greatest God that the world has ever known. There is no God besides our God. He is the Lord. He is the King. He is the all-sufficient, almighty God. With Him, all things are possible. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord God. I just want to close by saying, if you have not made a commitment to Jesus Christ, I got a song I want to close with.
Okay.
Just give me probably an F. I don't know if that's right or not. If you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to make a commitment today that you will not let the day end until you have returned to Jesus and you found Him as your Lord and Savior. If you're running from God, stop running from Him. Start running to Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Sing it. Look for in His wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strange. Lead Him in and grace. We're going to sing it again. But I want to take that phrase, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim as you turn your eyes upon Jesus. What are the things of earth? It's what you're going through right now. It's the problem you're facing personally. It's the problem it's facing in your marriage. It's your finances. It's your job. It's your kids. It's the crisis that you're walking through. That's the things of earth. They will grow strangely dim as you turn to Jesus Christ. Let's sing it once more.
Amen.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look forth in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Thank you, Brother Ben.
Amen.
Sorry to spring that one on you.
It's all right.
But I want to say that, you know, if you got to go, go. If you'd like prayer, I'm going to just hang around. I think probably some will hang around. If you need a healing in your body, you need God to touch you, the altar is going to be open. And we have people who'll come and just pray with you and encourage you. If you got to go, your stomach can't stand it anymore, go get it. Hallelujah. If you want a little bit more of God, just hang around. We'll be willing to anoint you with oil, to pray with you, and to let God move upon you. God bless you.